I'd like to share with you this evening from Psalms 139. I've entitled my message tonight, The God Who Knows Me. In my message, there'll be 3 points. The first one will be, God knows everything about me. God is everywhere I go. And the last point being, God knew me even before I was born. There is a lady named Amy Carmichael, and she eventually became a missionary to the country of India. And at a young, at an early age, at the age of 3, she began to desire, and she really wanted blue eyes. And one night, she prayed to God, God, would you take away these brown eyes that you've given me and give me blue eyes? And she said to herself, I'm going to pray really hard tonight, and I'm going to believe that God's going to change them. And she went to bed really excited. She got up the next morning, and she looked into the mirror, and she still had brown eyes. And so she goes over to her mom, and she's like, Mom, I prayed to God. I believe that God was going to change my eyes to blue. And she's just really frustrated about the whole situation that had taken place. But God, he knew all about Amy. He knew the plans they had for her, and he knew all that was going on in her life. He knew her thoughts. He knew the words of frustration that she was expressing to her mom. And he knew the desires that she had even before she had prayed to him. God knows all about Amy. And he knew the plan they had for her. God knows all about me. And God knows all about each of us. And that's what we'll be looking at here in the first part of our message. God knows all about me. Psalms 139 verses 1 through 6 says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought from afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. David says here in the beginning of the passage, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. The word search here implies diligently looking out into a matter, diligently searching for something, diligently seeking a matter out. Growing up, I enjoyed watching a lot of different mystery shows. My family, we enjoyed watching together Matlock, Perry Mason, Murder, She Wrote. But in each of these shows, these detectives here were looking into a crime that had taken place, and they wanted to know exactly what had happened. They researched the different life stories of the suspects that were there. They researched the motives that could have taken place behind the actions that had taken place in the mystery. They researched the relationships of the people and how they all interworked together. They were diligently searching out the matter so that they could solve the mystery that was at hand. And David here is describing the passage, the diligence of God in knowing each of us in our personal lives. He's describing the intensity of God's knowledge about us. This word is also used throughout the Bible to describe the 12 spies who went out to the land of Israel to spy it out. It's used also of different people who are looking for precious stones in the Bible, how they're diligently looking for these precious stones that are worth lots of money. Now, the word search also implies the lack of knowledge until something is observed. Yet David here in this passage knows that God's knowledge about us is infinite, that God's knowledge of us is eternal. God has always known about us, and he's always will. God knows all about us here. He knows when we sit down. He knows when we rise up. He knows our thoughts even before we are thinking them. He knows the path that we're traveling down. And he knows the words that we say even before we say them. This is God's knowledge about each of us. And with God's knowledge that he possesses, he does not just know all these things about us and sit back on the sidelines. God is very active in each of our lives with the knowledge that he possesses about us. This lady here, Johnny Erickson Tata, some of you guys may be familiar with her story, but at age 17, she was paralyzed in a diving accident. She dove off in a beach, and it happened to be a shallow area that she didn't realize. She broke her neck and became a quadriplegic, paralyzed from her neck on down. She was 17, getting ready to graduate from high school. She had her whole life ahead of her. She was very athletic. Before this accident, she rode horses. She was involved in sports. And yet now, over the next 2 years, she would learn what it would be like to depend upon others completely each day just to perform the basics of life, eating, getting dressed, and going to different places. And her initial response, she was angry. She became bitter against God in the situation. She feared the future. There was a lot of frustration going on in her mind. She even had suicidal thoughts, thinking, if I'm going to be a quadriplegic, I can't even feel anything from my neck on down. Why should I even go on living? What's the purpose of life? And through these 2 years, she just struggled, went back and forth on all these different thoughts that were going on in her life. And during those 2 years, God sent different people to her. They encouraged her with scripture. They were just there for her, some of them, just to support her in this hard time. And as she went through these initial 2 years, just learning to respond to this situation, she thought to herself, maybe the answer to my prayer is that God wants me to glorify him as a quadriplegic. Maybe God wants me to glorify him in a wheelchair. God knew all of Johnny Erickson's thoughts during these times. He knew her fears. He knew her frustration. He knew her anger. He knew the bitterness that was in her heart against God for allowing this event to take place in her life. And God had plans for Johnny. She has gone on now, and because she has trusted God and sought to glorify God, even in this state of relying on people on a day-to-day basis to help her into a wheelchair, to fix her hair, to get her dressed, to feed her, she has gone on now to develop her own ministry for handicapped people. And God has used her to impact many families and many individuals who have handicaps. She tells them, listen, God has a purpose for you. You may be handicapped, you may have to depend upon somebody else, but there is still hope for you in your life. You do not have to give up. You do not have to cave into depression. God has then not only used her in the lives of handicapped people, but just other people that have other trials in their life, where she just tells them on a day-to-day basis, I got to choose to trust God. I got to choose to rely upon him. And as you look up her testimony on YouTube and listen to different aspects of it, she'll tell you that initially when she was, 19 and made the choice that she was going to glorify God. This wasn't a one-time decision. All of a sudden, boom, she's just trusting God the whole way. She says this is a day-by-day decision she makes. That there are some days that are good days. There are some days that are bad days. There are some days that, she gets really depressed and she caves into depression. There are still times that she asks why. And you'll hear all that in these different testimonies and aspects that she shares there. But what she does say is it's a matter of daily going back to God and reminding herself that I serve a God that I can trust, that God has a purpose for me, that God knows all about me, and that he's everywhere that I go. God, with the knowledge that he possesses about us, does not just sit back on the sidelines. He's very active in the knowledge that he possesses about each one of us here. When there's a sin going on in our lives, he comes alongside and convicts us and gets us back up on our feet. When there's a trial that we're going through or a hard time or an unexpected circumstance that comes up, God's there to provide us. God's there to come alongside us and encourage us in that matter. He sends people our way. He sends scripture verses to encourage us to keep pressing on. He sends to us the physical needs that we need, money, food, and just the given situation at hand. God provides for each of us in our lives. He's very active with the knowledge that he possesses about all of us. As you get to know me, you'll know that I enjoy hiking, and this is a picture here of a place called Table Rock back in South Carolina. But I enjoyed hiking. I love hiking up to a cliff face and just looking out over the mountains, the woods, and just looking at God's creation. I love hiking up to a waterfall and just watching the power of the water just coming down over the side of the mountain and crashing down below. But there is a hike I went on, a three-day hike with a church that I attended a while back with a group. We went on a three-day hike, and it was in the middle of winter that we went. On this, the first day of our hike, we were going on this trail. We encountered two girls on it. We asked them where they were going and what their plans were for the day. And they said, well, we're on a day trip. We're hiking up the mountain, and we're going to hike back down. We told them a little about ourselves and what our ambitions were, and we continued on our way. That evening, we set up camp, and who should come wandering into our camp but these two girls who were supposed to be on a day trip? And apparently, they had lost their way and just somehow stumbled upon our campsite. So it was decided amongst us that we would send one of the leaders in our group and another guy with these girls to the ranger station, where the ranger could then get these girls to further safety. Now, these girls, God knew all about them. When they became lost and realized it, God knew the thoughts that were going on inside their minds. He knew the fears that were going on. Where should we have turned? Does this look right? Does this match up with the map here? He knew the words that were going on between the two of them. Maybe we should have turned back there, or I hope we find our way before dark time gets. What are we going to do if we don't? God knew everything that was going on between these two girls. God knew the path that they were traveling on, and God providentially brought them across our way. One of the leaders the next day casually mentioned to the group, "It's a good thing those girls came across our campsite, because they could have easily have frozen to death had they remained lost during the nighttime there on the mountain in the dead of winter." God knew all about these girls here. He knew the thoughts that were going on. He knew the words that they were saying. And God is very active in each of our lives, and He knows all things. And God, David says here in verse 6, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." That's how high God's knowledge is of us. He's very personal, and He's very active. We go on in our passage to know that God is everywhere I go. In verses 7, we start off by reading, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." David asks the two questions here in this passage. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And David knows the answers to both these questions, but he's asking this to emphasize the point that God is everywhere. If I go up to heaven, God's there. If I descend to hell, God's going to be there too. God's everywhere we go. It doesn't matter the height, it doesn't matter the depth. God is everywhere. David goes on in this passage then to give us another word picture, describing just the height and the depth and how God is everywhere we go. David says, "If I take the wings of the morning," and looking up this phrase, the wings of the morning, it's describing the morning sun bouncing off the clouds there at a sunrise. This is depicting, once again, this is the height that someone can imagine. And he says, "Or if I go and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, the uncharted waters, the depths of the ocean that we just don't see on an everyday basis, God would still be there." Doesn't matter how high we go, low we go, doesn't matter the unsearchable places, God is everywhere we go in our lives. And knowing that God is everywhere, this should be a comforting thought to us, knowing that no matter what we are up against, where we are, we have a God that we can trust. We have a God that we can call out to in our time of need. And David closes off this passage by saying, "Even the darkness cannot hide me from you." I've never been to Carlsbad Caverns here in New Mexico, but I've known a couple of friends who have been out that way. And they say that at one point in time during the tour of these caves, that the tour guide turns out the lights, and everything just goes pitch black. And it's so dark that you can't even see the hand in front of your face. Even in a situation like that, God is there. God's active in our lives. He knows everything that's taking place, and He's everywhere that we go. God is a God who is near, and He's not far off. There's a lot of people, let's just say there's a thought process that's out there that views God as a watchmaker who winds up a clock and then sets it on the shelf and just steps back and lets the clock run in its own course. They think that God's created the world, He's created you and I, and then He stepped back and He has no interaction with us, and things are just running at random here on this earth. Well, that's not the God of Psalm 139. The God of Psalm 139 is very active in our lives. He's everywhere we go. He knows all about us. And He cares about the things that are going on. He's a God who is near. He's not a God who's far off. We're going to find out now, in our third point, that God knows me even before I was born. This is how vast God's thoughts are of us, that even before we were born, God knew us. Starting in verse 13, we read, "For you form me, for you form my inward parts. You cover me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them." How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. In this passage here, we see that God formed us in the womb, that my frame was not hidden from God, and that God knew me even before I was born. I went on a walk for life a couple weeks back, and at this walk for life, I was going there to raise money and also make a statement for unborn children. This particular walk for life was raising money for a house in which women could go to who chose to give birth to their baby instead of aborting it. God has formed us here in the womb. My frame was not hidden from God, and God knew me before I was born. This next point here, I've got a couple models here of a child that's 12 weeks old. And at 12 weeks, a baby is 3 inches long and weighs 2 ounces. And I'm just going to start it up here. And I want you guys just to pass this around. But this is what a baby looks like here in the womb. Just kind of pass it on back as you're done. A baby looks like here in the womb. And as you are passing this around, I'm going to walk us through just some of the highlights of the development of a baby there. But all this is to emphasize that God formed us in the womb, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows quite well, is exactly what David says. We see at week 1, conception takes place. The baby is smaller than a grain of sugar, but the instructions are all present for all this person will ever become. We see in week 3, the baby's blood vessels form, foundation of the brain, the spinal cord, and the nervous system are laid. Week 4, the baby's heart has begun to beat. Eyes, ears, and lungs begin to form. Week 5, tiny arms and legs appear, as well as the baby's face. Week 6, tiny fingers and toes develop. Week 7, 99% of the muscles are present. Week 8, the skull, elbows, and knees are forming. Week 12, this is the model that's being passed around. The baby is now 3 inches long, weighs 2 ounces. The baby is able to swallow, and it feels and responds to skin stimulation. 14 weeks, the baby has the ability to move their head, the mouth, lips, arms, wrists, legs, feet, and toes. Week 20, eyebrows and scalp hair are visible, and the baby blinks often. Week 26, the brainwave patterns resemble those of a full-term baby at birth. Week 30, the baby is completely formed and will develop until delivery. This is the God we serve. I hope that this object lesson that I'm passing around right now just helps you to understand that in the womb, God forms us. God had a plan for us even before we were born, and He knew all about us. God formed us in the womb. My frame was not hidden from God. And God knew all about me even before I was born. David goes on to say, I'm going to mention this here. The word covered here can also be translated as knit, that God knit us together in the womb. And all those descriptions, those developments of the baby there during those different weeks, God is slowly taking the baby there and is forming each baby. He formed each of us there in the womb. Each of us here is a miracle that God put together. Each baby is a miracle that God put together in the womb. God knitted us. God, and here in 16, David says, "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book were written all the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them." Our lives are like a book, and God's written out each of the chapters in our lives. God's written each story that is there inside that book. He's written the beginning, He's written all the stories in between the beginning and the end, and He's written our end out. And this all happened before we were born. God knew all about us. This is a mystery to us that, you know, we can read about in the Bible, but we're not going to be able to completely understand. This is God's sovereignty in each of our lives. He has a plan and a purpose that's going on. And let me just mention here that David says in 17 and 18, "How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." And this passage here applies to each individual person. That is how is a personal of a God that we serve. A God who knows all about us. A God who is with us always. And a God who knows us even before we were born. In application of this message here, I'd like to leave you guys with just two thoughts. Number one is pray David's prayer he prays here at the end of the passage. And search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties or my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the prayer that I need to pray on a daily basis. And this is the prayer that David realized he needed to pray in his life. That God, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I need to be praying this that God would convict me of sin. David realized that he needed to pray this so that God would convict him of sin. But the God who knows God, when we realize that God knows all about us, and that God is everywhere, and that he is very present in our everyday lives, he will give us a different light on sin, the way we view sin. When we realize this and apply it to our lives, that God's with us everywhere, and that God knows all about us, that when we sin literally right in the front of God. And that's what David's here is wanting God to convict him of. God, look at my thoughts, look at my actions, convict me of sin. And that's the prayer that I would just challenge each of us to pray on a daily basis. And as we pray this prayer and live it out in our lives, we will become changed. We will grow to be more like Christ. And the second point of application is to be faithful. This goes along with God having a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. I go as far as to say that God has a specific plan for each of us. We may not know what that specific plan is, and maybe until the very end of our lives when we're just looking back and saying, wow, this is the way that God used me to influence this person in this life, or God used me to come alongside this person and help them out in this hard situation I was going through, or here's the ministry that God used me in to reach out to the lives of other people. But what God does want us to do in the stage of life that we're living at right now is he calls us to be faithful. David told Jeremiah, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. God told Jeremiah before he was born, he had planned for him to be a prophet to the nations. In the life of Esther, when the Jews were about to be killed in the Medo-Persian government, Mordecai, her cousin, realized the sovereignty of God, writes to Esther and says, do you not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews? For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this? God had sovereignly placed Esther specifically where she was to save the Jewish nation from a genocide that was getting ready to take place. In the life of Joseph, we're familiar with him. He comes to his brothers come to him thinking that he's going to seek revenge for them selling him into slavery. And he says to them, as for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good. In order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. God took a sin that was committed against Joseph. Basically, his brothers kidnapped him, threw him in the pit, and then sold him into slavery. Joseph chose to be faithful even as a slave, and then he gets accused falsely and gets thrown into prison. And yet, God uses all these sins that were committed against Joseph and still fulfilled his specific plan he had for Joseph, which was to become the second in command of Egypt, to save the Egyptians, to save his family, to save the surrounding people groups there in Egypt from famine and from death. And Joseph realized this in his life. But these were specific plans that God had for these people. And I believe that God has a specific plan for each of us. And right where we're at in life, we need to be faithful. That may be just being a mom or being a dad. Being an honest employee at your work. Being a person who's involved in church and involved in a ministry in some way. Being a friend who comes alongside someone encouraging someone. Being a Sunday school teacher. Being a teacher. Wherever God has you in life. He wants us to be responsible. He wants us to be faithful with the responsibilities that he has given to each of us. Amy Carmichael, who went on to become a missionary to India, God took her life. He brought her to salvation. She wanted to serve God. And she slowly, yielded her life to God. And God eventually took her over to India where she became a missionary. She went on to tell others about Jesus there in the land of India. And as she was going about evangelizing, sharing the gospel, she saw some fruit there. And as time went on, she became aware of an evil practice that was over there in India. It was the temple prostitution there, where people would take young, very young girls, even sometimes below teenage level, would sell them to the temple for temple prostitution. And she desired to rescue these girls, to bring them into her own house, and raise them as her own kids. And so with that in mind, she got together with some of her Indian friends, and she would disguise herself. She would rub coffee on her arms and her skin to darken her complexion. She dressed in Indian clothes, and she would sneak into these temples. She would sneak different ones of these girls out one by one, and she would raise them as her own. One of Amy Carmichael's Indian friends mentioned to her in this process, "It's a good thing that you have brown eyes, because if you had a different shade, they would recognize you and realize that you were not one of them." And when that Indian friend told her that, she thought back all the way to 3 years old, when she really wanted blue eyes, and she couldn't understand why God would not change her eyes from brown to blue. And then she realized, wow, God had a plan, a purpose, all the way throughout my life, as far as the way He designed me. God knew Amy Carmichael's thoughts. He knew her intents. He knew her desires. He also knew the plan that He had for her in her life. He was with Amy always, and He knew all about her. And in our lives, God is the same. He knows all about us. He's with us. He knows us before we are even born. And He has a purpose for each of our lives here. David says here in Psalms 139, 17 to 18, "How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you." Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you. You have a plan, a purpose for each of our lives. I thank you for your word that teaches us how to live. I thank you that you have the plan of salvation there, how you as a perfect man, you came to live and die a perfect life, and how you died on the cross for our sins so we could go to be and live with you for eternity one day. I thank you for the plans that you have for us, for being with us always, for caring about us, for convicting us of sin, and for helping us along the way. I thank you, God, that no matter what comes into our lives, the trials that we face, the uncertain circumstances that arise during the week, that we can go to you, that we can trust you, that you want to hear from us. You want to know about our thoughts and our fears. And that you're a God who cares and is going to provide for us. Thank you for being personal. In Jesus' name, amen.